I love this particular section of the Bible. As most of you know who've listened to me for more than 5 minutes, you'll know that I love the book of Deuteronomy, and we are in the portion of the Torah where the readings all come from the book of Deuteronomy. And one of the main reasons that I love Deuteronomy so much is because it is a document which at its heart has the preparation of the people as one of the central points. Moses is preparing the people to enter into the land that God gave to the fathers and swore to them by an oath. So when you think about the book of Deuteronomy, what you're thinking about, what you're looking at, is a document which contains preparatory material, if you will. Documents, the book of Deuteronomy documents the preparing of the people to cross into the land that was promised to them. So what we get in the book of Deuteronomy is, quote unquote, the teaching, capital T-H-E, the teaching. In fact, in particular, what Moses sets out to do and tells us about is that he sets out to do something specific with the teaching. Go with me. Let's just roll through some text today. By the way, if you've listened to the teaching before, you'll know that I'm going to go through quite a few passages. If you're not, if you're new with us, then get your Bible out, get ready. And I think I might even cover more passages in this class than I usually do. So I'm going to be rolling through quite a few texts. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 5. Now, let me just tell you that the narrator of this particular portion of Scripture, if you look at verse 1, these are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel on the other side of the Jordan. So what we get is sort of an introduction to these words. Deuteronomy in Hebrew is called Devarim. These, Eleh HaDevarim, these are the words. These are the words that Moses spoke. So look at verse 5. It says, Moses began to declare this Torah, is what it says in English. Now, in Hebrew, where it says in my English, declare, it's ba'er in Hebrew, and it means to make plain. He set forward to, let's say, make plain the teaching. I want to give you a couple more examples of the use of this word. Go with me to Deuteronomy 27, Deuteronomy chapter 27, and verse 8 also uses this word. And you shall write upon the stones all the words of this Torah very plainly. See, the idea is that the words of the teaching will be plainly demonstrated or plainly displayed upon these stones. Now, there's one other passage, and many of you may be familiar with this passage. It comes from the prophet Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. And Jehovah answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain. Here's our word, ba'er. Make it plain upon tablets, that he who reads it may run. So one of the things that I wanted to stress going into today's teaching is that the teaching must be made plain, whether it's in written form or spoken. In other words, if I am teaching a class on something as important as the Word of our God, I ought to be able to make it plain. If I can't make it plain so that you can run with it, if I can't bring a message to you that you can, let's call it putting handles on the teaching, my goal is to do that every week. It's to make it plain. So the reason that I love Deuteronomy so much is that it really does that. Now, let's go through a couple more passages. Go back to the book of Deuteronomy. I'd like you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 29. I'll tell you what I'm talking about today in a few minutes. This is all preparatory. This is introductory material. Chapter 29 of Deuteronomy, verse 28. Now, most English Bibles, this will be 29. Deuteronomy 28, verse 29 in English, 28 in Hebrew. It says, the secret things belong unto Jehovah our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this Torah. So what this passage says, it's already plain, but let me make it a little plainer. There are secret things. Those belong to Jehovah. But what he has revealed and made plain is for us and for our children. Notice the reason. You see what the reason is? So that we may do it. Right? A lot of people love to entertain the mysterious and the mystical, and they wonder about how many angels can fit on a dime or whatever. You know, they get into all these little discussions, but they leave other things undone. What I like to do is focus on the things which are the essential things, which are very important, foundational bedrock truths, and that's one of the things that we're going to do today. Now, look down while we're right here. Go to chapter 30 of Deuteronomy, verse 11. I'm going to read from 11 to verse 14, which happens to be contained within the white spaces, the original marks within the text, which set things apart. Verse 11, Deuteronomy 30, for this commandment which I command you this day, it's not hidden from you, neither is it far off. It's not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to us for heaven to bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near to you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. Why? So that you can do it. In other words, look, again, don't worry about the mysterious and the hidden and the secret things. What we're talking about, what Moses seems to be most interested in, is making the teaching plain, giving it to you in such a way that you and your family can grab hold of it, internalize it, and live it and do it. This is the main message of the Torah, and particularly in Deuteronomy. And why is that? We're going to just, let's look at a few more. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 26. In an English Bible, it's going to be verse 29, Deuteronomy 5. And this is Jehovah speaking. He says, oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me and guard my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. The very heart cry of the Creator is that we would have such a heart in us that we would guard the commandments and do them, notice, and it's for our good. I mean, this is the point. I think one of the biggest tragedies, and I say this quite often, is that people have been told by other religions and other practitioners and preachers and teachers. I've listened to preachers. I've listened to fools, I think, was an Ozzy Osbourne lyric. Most of you probably never stooped that low. But there are people who are actually teaching that God's word and that his commandments are not to be kept. But here we just read that this is the very heart of God, that they would do this forever. Okay. Now go with me, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 11. And this particular Torah reading this week is called Re'eh. It is a verb which means see. And it begins in verse 26. This Torah reading this week begins in Deuteronomy 11, 26. And I just want to read the opening of this particular Torah reading. And I'm going to show you some things that I saw when I read it. It begins, see. Behold, in Hebrew, re'eh, see, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you listen. Now, most translations might say obey or whatever, but in the Hebrew it says if you listen. A blessing if you listen to the commandments of Jehovah your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you do not listen to the commandments of Jehovah your God, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other gods which you have not known. Now, I want to ask you something. Is that difficult to understand what Moses is saying there? I believe it's pretty straightforward. He puts this before them. See, I set before you two things. A blessing if you listen to the commandments. And a curse. A lot of people talk about, especially in religious circles, let's just call it like it is, especially in fundamental evangelical Christianity, talk about a curse of the law. What they don't understand is, well, they don't understand the Bible. But what they do is they say that the Torah itself is a curse. Absolutely, it's actually a sin to say that. It's not a curse. It contains a curse in the setup of it if you don't obey it, if you don't listen, if you don't learn and guard and do. That's what the curse is. The curse is brought about by doing the very thing that they're doing. They're not listening. You know, in Proverbs 28:9, it says that if you don't listen to the Torah, even your prayer is an abomination. So what we're talking about here is there's a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you listen, a curse if you don't. That message needs to be shouted from the rooftops globally because people need to know the truth. They've been lied to. Their teachers, I'm quoting the prophets, pick a prophet. Their teachers have lied to them. Their shepherds have led them astray. Now, what he says in this particular passage is something that's very consistent in the Hebrew Bible. I challenge those listening to my voice today to find a passage in the Hebrew Bible that says that keeping the commandments brings a curse. Go do it and call me. You can find my number. People do it all week when I'm trying to work. So you can find my number on the internet. Call me and tell me that passage, because I'll change everything I believe when you do. The idea is that people need to know what Scripture says, because ultimately, remember, I've said this a few times in the passages that I've read, ultimately, it's for your good. Ultimately, it's for your good. Now, the Torah reading begins this week with the verb re'eh, to see. Now, seeing is not a very common verb in the book of Deuteronomy. I brought this up before. The word that's really common, the verb, the faculty that is used in Deuteronomy most often, is the verb to hear, to listen. See is not that common. In fact, I think I found this particular form of the verb see, re'eh, it's an imperative verb. I found it, I think, 9 times in Deuteronomy. Whereas Shema, which means to listen, to hearken, to pay heed, whatever, that particular word is used nearly 90 times in the book of Deuteronomy. But I want to say that listening, even in a passage that begins with the word see, listening is the real focus. So I want you to think about that. So when I read this, seeing and hearing are both important. But what I want to stress to you is that even in this particular passage, the focus is on listening. If you listen to the commandments, if you pay heed, then you'll be on the blessing side. And if you don't, you'll be on the curse side. It's that simple. Is that making the Torah plain? I believe it is. Now, to confuse that is not making it plain. Confusion doesn't come by the Creator, by the way. I think most people would agree. All right. So when I read Deuteronomy 11:26, what I see this as is it's almost like it's saying this. Look, if you listen, you'll be blessed. Look, if you don't listen, you'll be cursed. That's not difficult. Again, this is very consistent. Not only is it consistent in the book of Deuteronomy, but it's also consistent throughout the Hebrew Bible, throughout the Tanakh, throughout what Christians call the Old Testament. So we're talking a little bit about doing what is right in the eyes of Jehovah. Go with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 12. This is part of our reading today. The weekly reading covers this particular passage. Just want to go through a couple of passages to establish a few points that will all come together in a nice package by the time the class is over. So if you're taking notes, raise your hand if I go too fast and I won't slow down. You'll have to catch it later. But sometimes it makes you feel better to raise your hand. Deuteronomy 12, verse 25. Here we go. Now, this is, by the way, talking about diet. Particularly, it's talking about blood. You're not to consume blood. By the way, I tell my friends, if you eat meat, consumption of blood is not allowed. It just says it's not allowed. In fact, this Torah reading, it mentions it several times. And even for Christians, I know sometimes Christians log in and listen to me. Even for Christians, go read the book of Acts, chapter 15, and you'll see that even for Christians, the consumption of blood is not good. It's not right. It's against God's way. So anyway, in that context, verse 25, you shall not eat it, that it may go well with you. A lot of the commandments are attached to a phrase that I've already mentioned in today's class. The goal thereof is that it might be well for you, right? It's going to be good. You do the things that God commands, and it will be right for you. And with your children after you, when you shall do that which is right in the eyes of Jehovah. You see that? In other words, when you do what's right in the eyes of Jehovah, it's going to go well with you. This is the story from creation. God tells Cain this very thing. If you do well, it'll go well. Now, a lot of people say, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Well, it doesn't mean that bad things can't happen to good people. That's not the question. But what we're saying here is that the general rule is if you do the right thing, what's right in God's eyes, you are in a position where you are aligned with heaven's decree. It puts you in a much better place. Look at chapter 13 of Deuteronomy, verse 19, to make the same point. Let's see. Actually, I'll start in 18 just to give you a little of the context, but I want to pick up on this phrase. And nothing of that which was devoted to destruction shall remain in your hand, that Jehovah may turn from the fierceness of his anger and show you mercy, have compassion on you, and multiply you as he has sworn to your fathers. Notice this, it's conditional. When you shall listen to the voice of Jehovah your God to keep all his commandments, which I command you today, to do that which is right in the eyes of Jehovah your God. Now, if someone says, well, I don't keep the commandments, then the answer that I give them is, well, then you're not doing what's right in the eyes of God. That's making it plain. It's not being ugly. It's not trying to start a fight. It's not getting into a religious debate. People a lot of times will say, well, you have your interpretation, I have mine. No, this isn't an interpretation. This is a reading. I'm reading this. I'm not giving you my slant on it. It says, you do this, you listen to these things and do them and you keep them, it'll go well with you. You're doing what's right in God's eyes. It's not an interpretation. You get the difference? Yeah. It's not an interpretation. And I've said this 10,000 times, I'll say it one more. A lot of teachers of the Bible will say, here's what the Bible says, and it means this. You know what's a lot easier and a lot more straightforward is you go, here's what it says, and it means that. It's a lot easier. You can get there easier. To interpret something is to take something that says one thing and give it another meaning. I'm not doing that. That's called biblical teaching when you do it this way. It says this, it means this. All right. Point made. What we're talking about when we talk about doing what is right in the eyes of Jehovah, we are talking about something very specific, and that is we're defining behavior that God deems acceptable, right? If something is wrong in the eyes of Jehovah, follow me on this, it's not a deep subject. If something is wrong in the eyes of Jehovah, that's bad behavior, according to biblical standards. If something is right in the eyes of Jehovah, it is according to His standards. Is that tricky? Not at all. It's making the teaching plain. Now, this becomes a way that the biblical writers describe right behavior, to say doing what is right in the eyes of Jehovah. Let me give you a couple of examples. The ones that you'll know are the ones where it's talking about the kings of Israel. How many times have we read? I'll just go through a couple of them. And I just flipped open to 1 Kings 11. Look at verse 33. 1 Kings 11, verse 33. I'm just going to hit a couple of them. Because they have forsaken me and worship Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, Chemosh, the god of Moab, Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in my eyes and to keep my statutes and judgments as David his father did. You see that? Mm-hmm. See, they did other things. Generally, it's associated with idolatry. They did other things. They didn't do what was right, like David did. See the difference? Now look down at verse 38. And it will be, if you will listen to all that I command you and walk in my ways and do what is right in my sight, comma, to guard my statutes and my commandments as David my servant did, that I will be with you and build you a sure house, etc., etc. Anybody confused? Straightforward. You do that which is good, you follow the commands, you listen, you do what's right in my eyes. All of those go on one side. Guess what side that is? That's the blessing side. Now, if you don't listen, if you don't guard, if you don't keep, if you don't do, if you don't follow what is right in God's eyes, guess what side that is? It's the curse side. Blessing is listen, guard, do. Curse is don't listen, don't do. So when people say, well, you can't keep the commandments and I'm not even going to try because that puts you in a curse, you're like, where did you get that? You didn't get it from the Bible. Couldn't have. It's not there. It's ridiculous, and it's bad to say that. It's actually evil. To attribute what God says is good and right and just and fair, and to say that's bad is a bad thing. So caution. All right, now, just a couple more, just to make the point. Look at chapter 14, verse 8. 14, verse 8. Since I exalted you from among the people and made you prince over my people Israel and rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you, and yet you've not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments, followed me with all his heart to do that only which was right in my eyes. You see that? Pretty clear. Now, there are lots of these verses. You can work through the Kings and Chronicles and primarily Kings, and you'll see this over and over. To do that which is right in the eyes of Jehovah is the way that we define good and blessing and life. See, God wants us to do these things, because it'll be good for you, it'll be good for me, and it brings life. So when someone says that the Torah brings death or the letter kills, they just don't know Scripture. They err, for they know not Scripture, is the best way to put it, okay? Now, go with me back to Deuteronomy. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12. This is also from the reading today. And I would like you to go to verse 8, Deuteronomy 12, 8. You shall not do after all the things that we do here this day. This is Moses talking to the children of Israel. Every man, whatever is right in his own eyes. For you are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which Jehovah your God gives you. But when you traverse the Jordan, when you cross the Jordan and dwell in the land which Jehovah your God gives you to inherit, and when he gives you rest from all your enemies round about so that you dwell in safety, and it goes on and it talks about it. So here is the bottom line, the simple, straightforward message. He says, up to this point, you've done what is right in your eyes. Now, there's a difference here. What I want to show you for a few minutes is the distinction, the contrast, the difference between doing what is right in the eyes of Jehovah and doing what is right in your own eyes. Now, hopefully, the goal is that we will begin to see things the way Jehovah sees things, even though his ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts our thoughts. The Torah is set up to guide us, and it's like corrective vision, if you will. If you look into the perfect law, what you will do is you will gain the ability to see things the way that Jehovah sees things. Right? We look generally, this is a general rule. People look at the outside, God looks at the heart. See, so we have to learn to have excellent vision. Right? I wear glasses. And I wear glasses, because I can't wear contacts because I can't put them in my eyes. It bothers me. But I wear glasses because my vision is not perfect. If I take these off, I can't read the text. It's blurry. When I put my glasses on, it's fine. What I'm saying is that biblically, spiritually, you and I can't see things the way Jehovah sees them unless we have the right equipment. This lesson is meant to give you the equipment, to give you the glasses, to begin to see things the way God sees them, to align ourselves with the kingdom goals, if you will. That's what we're talking about here today. To do what is right in your own eyes. This passage, this particular phrase is used a couple other times. One is in Judges chapter 17, verse 6. But I want to, well, let's just look at, it's the exact same phrase. So look at Judges 17, 6. It's also in chapter 21, verse 25. But you just, let's look at 17, 6. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Right? Now, some have proposed, hey, that's not a bad thing. It is if you understand biblically what we're talking about here, because what we're doing is we're demonstrating a contrast between that which is right in the eyes of Jehovah and that which is right in the eyes of man, generally speaking, right? Generally speaking. All right, so there are, in essence, there are two ways. There is a way, the good and upright way of Jehovah that is being measured according to the commandments. This is when, so the blessing, to inherit the blessing and the inheritance and the heritage and the things that God, because this is what God said, oh, that they had such a heart in them as it, I'm talking about that side. That's that way. There's another way. There are two paths you can go by. The other way is something different than that. And it's you shouldn't confuse the two. If you listen, guard, do the commandments, you're on the blessing side. Here's the other way. A way that seems right to man, but that which is not aligned with the kingdom of heaven. A way that seems right to man that is not following the commands and teachings of Jehovah. That simple. Look with me to the book of Proverbs, and look at chapter 12, Proverbs 12 and verse 15. I've got a lot of passages. I'll just... The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. We're talking about the way of the fool. But he that hearkens unto counsel is wise. I want to put godly wisdom on the side of a listener. Now, one who does not listen is A, not wise, and is probably a fool. Because a fool is right in his own eyes. Now, look at chapter 21 of Proverbs. By the way, if it's been a while since you read the Proverbs, you ought to read them. Proverbs are set up in an interesting way because of the number of chapters and the number of days in a month. You know, some people actually do this sort of as a pattern. I'm not really into patterns that well, but some that are very disciplined, you might want to read a proverb a day. You know, you get through the book of Proverbs in a month, or you can just sit down and read the whole book today. That's the way I prefer to do it. But Proverbs chapter 21, let's do verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but Jehovah weighs the heart. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to Jehovah than sacrifice. I love this passage. You see the contrast. It's like when people say everybody has an interpretation, you know, and I just covered that. Well, everybody has ideas. Everybody has their own understanding of things. But when you read this text, you know that this is true. Everybody has an opinion. They believe, most people believe, well, I'm right. Well, the question ought to be, well, are you listening? Because a lot of people make their determination without listening. I already know all that. So it kind of connects the two. Our focus, needs to be as best we can on doing what is right in the eyes of Jehovah, not in our own eyes. Now, is that easy to do? To some degree, there are certain things which are fairly straightforward. I'm not talking about the secret things. I'm talking about those things which are revealed. Like somebody told me one day, I've had this a few times, I just can't eat, I can't eat kosher. I mean, it's too hard. And you're like, I'm talking about biblical kosher. I'm not talking about the rules of kashrut and converting to Orthodox Judaism. I'm saying if you go to a restaurant and you eat meat, most restaurants are conveniently organized on the menu. They have seafood, they have beef, they have whatever. So if you eat meat, could you not look at that and go, well, I can't have that because it's got shrimp tails on it. I can't have, you see what I'm, you could do it. Now, whether a person does it or not, that's a whole different question. You know, because some people, it's not a matter of can you, it's will you. Now, if you want to do what's right in God's eyes, you simply look at something and say, you know, God said not to do that. Diet's just one thing. Diet happens to be in the Torah reading today, but there are plenty of things. Like if you said, I think that I'm going to rob that store, something in your head ought to go, you know, if you don't have another way to stop yourself, you ought to at least say, you know, God's way says that that's not right. Check yourself, right? I mean, it's you follow the way. Now, if you have inclinations like that, you probably need to pray anyway. You know. But we need to pray, speaking of prayer, because generally there is a proclivity, a leaning towards among humans to do what's right in our own eyes. What I'm asking for us, I think I'm telling myself and I'm advising you, to pray to our Creator to say, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand what is right in your eyes, and help us in those decisions. Most of this stuff is pretty straightforward. It says this is right in God's eyes, this is not right in God's eyes. So when we know that, we just run with it, right? But we ought to pray that God will open that up for us. Now look with me, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 29, Deuteronomy 29. And I want to go to verse 4, Deuteronomy 29 and verse 4. And it says, let's go back to verse 3. Yet Jehovah has not given you a heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear until this day. He's telling the children of Israel, before they go into the land, he said, you don't have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to know. In the Hebrew, it's a heart to know unto this day. Lada'at, right? In other words, he's telling them, you're about to go in and you're not equipped. It's really what he's saying. Because in order, I'm going to show you this today, in order to be equipped to fulfill the mission, you have to have a heart to know and understand. You have to have eyes to see and ears to hear. If you're lacking any one of those, you're not ready. And these are gifts from God, by the way. Look with me, go back to Proverbs, and look at Proverbs chapter 20, Proverbs 20, and I want to read to you verse 12. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, Jehovah has made them both. So the point is, if he is the maker thereof and the one who can give you the ability to see with your eyes, and I'm talking spiritually here, I'm not over-spiritualizing, but it is a spiritual. We're not talking about physical blindness in this class today, although that's, you know, it's another topic. But what I'm talking about, he gives you eyes to see and ears to hear. We're going to look through some passages where there are people who have eyes to see. They've got the physical faculty, but they don't have the spiritual side. We're going to see that. So these are gifts from God. Choosing one's own way, that is, choosing what is right in one's own eyes versus choosing what's right in Jehovah's eyes, is the problem that we're seeking to address. We don't want to choose what's right in our eyes. I know I don't. I know that there's a way that seems right to man, and the end thereof is destruction. Guess what? I don't want to be destroyed. I would prefer to live and to flourish and to do things according to God's ordained order. So I think you do as well. So we just have to pray for God, the giver of all good gifts, to give us a seeing eye, a hearing ear, and an understanding heart. What this does, when we choose what's right in our own eyes, it yields a spiritual blindness and an inability to listen and perceive and to understand, and thereby it prevents us from achieving what it is that we're supposed to be doing with our lives and in terms of God's mission for us and for others around us. It's also, when we make that choice and choose our own way, it's also associated with waywardness and rebellion, right? Because you're not listening, is what it's saying. if you just don't listen, let me give you some examples. Go with me to the prophet Jeremiah. Let's go to Jeremiah, and I want to go to Jeremiah 5 and begin in verse 20. All right, Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 20 says, "Declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah, saying, Hear now this, O foolish people and without understanding, who have eyes and see not, and who have ears and hear not." So who's he addressing? He's addressing the group I'm talking about. Look at this. He's talking to the ones that have eyes to see, but they don't, ears to hear, they don't understand. He calls them fools. "Do you not fear me, saith Jehovah? Will you not tremble at my presence, who placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it? And though its waves toss themselves, yet can they not prevail? Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it? But this people has a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, Let us now fear Jehovah our God, that gives rain, both the former and the latter in its season, that keeps for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withheld good things from you." You know what the problem with sin is? It withholds good from you. A lot of people are scared to go to hell. Well, if you continue in sin, welcome to hell. You're not going to have good things. I mean, this is, look, "For among my people are found wicked men." Among my people, "they lie in wait as he that set snares. They set a trap, they catch men. As a cage of full birds, so are their homes full of deceit. Therefore, they are become great and grown rich. They've grown fat and sleek. Yea, they overpass in deeds of wickedness. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, that they may prosper. In the right of the needy do they not judge. Shall I not punish for these things, saith Jehovah? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this?" He's talking to his people. See, Moses said in Deuteronomy 29, "You have not yet achieved a heart to understand, eyes to see, ears to hear." And here, he's talking to that group in the time of Jeremiah. Now, in verse 21, where it talks about, forget how the translation is, but it says, with no heart, people of no heart. That might be translated as, I'll look it up later, that may be translated as foolish people, but people without heart. Ever hear somebody say that person has no heart? Not only is it not an understanding or knowing heart, it's not even there. Okay, look with me to Ezekiel chapter 12. Ezekiel 12 and verse 2. Well, let's just start in verse 1. "The word of Jehovah came to me, saying, Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, who have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not, because they're a rebellious house." So what I want to begin you to, I want you to begin to see, blessing. If you listen, you follow these things. Curse. If you don't listen, you don't. If you are not listening and you're not following, you have eyes to see, but you don't see. You have ears to hear, but you don't hear. You are in rebellion. Period. That's what it says. Now, the question becomes, what brought this condition on? What brought this condition on is this rebellion. Go with me to Isaiah. Isaiah 6. Most of you probably know this story. Isaiah 6 is very interesting. We get a glimpse through the eyes of Isaiah to the throne room. Very important. In the year, verse 1, Isaiah 6, "In the year that King Uzziahu died, I saw Jehovah sitting upon a throne high and lifted up." Actually, in Hebrew, it's not Yehovah, it's Adonai. I saw Adonai sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. Seraphim stood above him. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. With two he did fly. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is Jehovah of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. The house was filled with smoke. And then I said, this is Isaiah, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, Jehovah of hosts." Now, I want you to think about that. Now, then, verse 6, one of the seraphim, which, by the way, seraph in Hebrew means to burn. People say this is a class of angels. The word angel is never associated with seraphim. Call it what you will. The seraphim means to burn. Now, I want you to notice what their job is. Their job is very specific, and the text tells us. They attend the altar where the coals are burning. So what do you call them? The burning ones. They're burning the coals. What their job is, these seraphim, whatever they are, six wings. All right, or six pairs of wings, as it might be. "The one of the seraphim flew to me, having a live coal in his hand," which makes sense because they're the burning ones, "which he had taken with tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, 'Lo, this has touched your lips, your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged.' And I heard the voice of Jehovah saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?'" So there's a mission that's fixing to be put out there from Jehovah. Now, Isaiah, verse 9, says, "I said, here am I, send me." Now, here, listen to this. Listen to what the mission is. This is from heaven. It's from the King, the Lord of hosts. "Go and tell this people, hear indeed, but understand not. See indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and smear over their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and return and be healed." Now that is a strange command, is it not? You would think, here I am telling you that we need to pray to have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand. God is in the throne room. Isaiah's watching. He sees the seraphim. He sees the smoke. He hears the King, the Lord of hosts, say, "I got a mission. Who will I send?" Isaiah says, "I'll do it." He said, "Go make the people where they can't understand with their heart, their eyes can't see, and their ears can't hear." Because, get this, Isaiah, if they do those things, they'll be restored and healed. Now, if you're like me, you're thinking, "I thought that's what we were supposed to be doing." Isaiah says, "How long?" Because, see, what had happened was that the people had reached such a state of degradation in their morals and their inability and their unwillingness to listen and enact God's rules, as the writer of Kings says, there was no remedy. You can get to a place, individually, collectively, as a people, as a person, where there is no remedy. And what does God do? He puts a measure in place that will ultimately cause a restoration, a return. But this is not the time for that. He goes, "Go make their ears heavy, their eyes closed, because I don't want them to come. They're not ready." You know, in the Tanakh, it says, "And I will hide my face from them and see what their end will be." You chose bad, live it. You ever had a loved one, a child, a wayward child or something that you just said, "Hey, that's your path. You want to live that? Go ahead. It's not going to turn out well, I have to tell you." But, okay. The point is, if the people see, I want you to hear this from this text, if the people see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, it yields healing and restoration. At this point in the story, God says, but I don't want them to. Make them blind and deaf and cause them to not perceive because it's not time. Isaiah says, how long? He said, well, until the cities be left without inhabitant. In other words, he's got to bring consequences of their misdeeds, the consequences that are bound in the covenant that they rebelled against. He said, you've earned this. And until that is enacted in full, you got to rock on. You're going to have to go through all of this. Now, look with me, please, Isaiah 29 and beginning in verse 9. More of the same. Okay, Isaiah 29:9. Amaze yourself and be amazed. Blind yourselves and be blind. Be drunk, but not with wine. Stagger, but not with strong drink. For Jehovah has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, has closed your eyes, the prophets, has covered your heads, the seers, and the vision of all this has become to you as the words of a book that's sealed, which men deliver to one that's learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he says, I can't, because it's sealed. And the book is delivered to him that's not learned, saying, read this, I pray you. And he says, I'm not learned. Get this. He says, look, I want you to get a picture here. These people, they're drunk. Not the drunk you're thinking. Not drunk with wine. They're blind. Not that blind. Not that kind of blind. It's a spiritual. He's talking about the prophets, the ones who are supposed to see, your heads are covered. Like, you know, like if I'm walking out, I'm walking around and somebody goes, let's make this a little more difficult. Let's put a blanket over you and see how well you walk through this room with tables and chairs. And this is what it is. Now, the question you should ask is, why? This is from God. Amaze yourself. Be amazed. Be drunk. Not with wine. Be blind. Now watch. You know why? Look at verse 13. Verse 13 says, and Adonai said, since this people draw near, with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but they have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is as a commandment of men learned by rote. Look, remember what we're talking about? The way that seems right to man. See, there are plenty of religious commands that aren't from God. The problem is that they have, in pretense, Jeremiah says this. Jeremiah says that the people of Judah, he's addressing, says that they draw near to me in pretense. Like it's not even real. In fact, the word for pretense there is lie. In Hebrew, it's lie. But look, their fear towards me is as a commandment of men learned by rote. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. Get this. The wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. It's like if you brought the Bible to somebody and you go, hey, can you read this and tell me what it says? He goes, oh, I'm sorry, I can't help you. I can't read. Like, oh, I didn't know you couldn't read. And you say, well, you can read, right? Yeah, I can read. Would you read this? Oh, I don't understand it. Think about where you're at. You're kind of stuck in a bad place. The person that you think should read it can't read it. Hosea says, they that handle the law have failed in their task, basically. So what are we going to do? You got people with eyes that can't see. You got people with ears that can't hear. You have people without a heart basically, and people that have a heart that doesn't understand and doesn't know. It's a predicament. It's a major problem. And again, what brings this on? False religiosity. Today, by the way, the prophet reading comes from, because it's a new moon, you have a special prophet reading. It's from Isaiah chapter 66, verses 1 through 24. If you read that, what you're going to see is what God is doing, he's being very critical of false religion, and he's contrasting it with true. It's So what I want to do is we want to look at what caused this. Look at Isaiah 44, please. Isaiah 44, verse 18. They have not known nor understood, for he has shut their eyes that they cannot see and their hearts that they cannot understand. And none considers in his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I burn half of it in a fire. Let me give you the context. Once again, these people who can't see, can't hear, can't understand are idolaters. He said, if you read the in context, these people have made an idol out of wood, fastened it to a tree that it won't move in the figure of a man. Think about that. Figure of a man fastened to a tree. I'm getting certain images in my mind. I don't know about you. And then they take some of the other part of it and they throw it in a fire and say, I'm going to keep myself warm. Isaiah's going, how stupid. It's actually God saying, you can't see that you made your God here out of the same chunk of wood that you're warming yourself with? You don't. That's not a God. It's a chunk of wood covered in gold placed on a crucifix or whatever. All right, Isaiah 42, please. Let's start winding this together. You see, the servant has a mission. Servant has a mission. Chapter 42 of Isaiah, verse 5. Thus says God, the God, Ha'el in Hebrew, Ko amar Ha'el Yehovah, Borei Hashemaim. Thus says the God, Yehovah, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which comes out of it, he that gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein, I, Yehovah. In other words, all this is to say, who's talking? That God. The God. He says, I, Yehovah, I've called thee in righteousness and will hold your hand and will guard you and give you for a covenant of the people, a light to the nations. Notice the job of the servant, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am Yehovah, that is my name. My glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things are come to pass. New things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. You, my servant, he says this, you, my servant, have a task. You know what part of that task is? What did it say about blind eyes? To open blind eyes. The servant, now is this literal, like you walk up to somebody that's blind, like can't see, and you pray over them and their eyes are open? Or is this saying that you have a task? We're talking about those with eyes that can't see. I'm talking about a spiritual blindness. May it be that those who are physically blind would have their sight restored. Understand that I want that. What I'm talking about here is a blindness which was brought on through disobedience and rebellion, and the task of the servant is to cause them to see. All right? Now, look at verse 18, chapter 42. I just told you the task of the servant. Look at verse 18. Hear, O deaf, and look, O blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant? Now, stick with me. Or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect and blind as Jehovah's servants? Seeing many things, but you observe not. Opening the ears, but he doesn't hear. Jehovah was well pleased for his righteousness' sake, to magnify Torah and to make it glorious. Therefore, this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivers for a spoil, and none says, restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not Jehovah, he against whom we've sinned and in whose ways they would not walk, into whose Torah they were not obedient? They wouldn't listen. That's what that really says. Therefore, he's poured upon him the fury of his anger and the strength of battle, and it has set him on fire round about that he knew not. It burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. White space. Listen to me. The servant, the one who is to open blind eyes, is blind. The one who's to open the ears of the deaf is deaf. Do you know what happens when a blind man leads a blind man? Is that going to help, or do we need... But you know what God says? It's bad enough that that's the situation. But get this. It's almost like he's beside himself. He says, and no one says, Hashav, restore. No one says restore. Well, guess what? That changes today. You say restore to yourself. You say, this is what it's saying. Not only is the servant who's supposed to be a light to the nations, a covenant of the people, you know what? Here, look, the one who's supposed to handle the Torah has created all sorts of man-made laws. The commandment, my commandment, has been substituted, basically. Remember what we just read in Isaiah 29, verse 13. It's been substituted for a commandment of men learned by rote. So what is the servant who's supposed to be opening the eyes of the blind is blind himself. And no one says restore. In Hebrew, that word is hashav. Hashav. You need to say that. You need to say restore. Now, go with me to Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah 50. And go to verse 4. Isaiah 50, verse 4. Adonai Yehovah has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to sustain him that is weary. He wakens morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as the learned. Adonai Yehovah has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. You see, there's a contrast. What we need to pray is that God would open our ear. And then our part is to not be rebellious. We have to put ourselves on the right side of the blessing. Now look with me at Psalms. Go to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. Psalm 40. And go to verse 7. Psalm 40, verse 7. Thou dost not desire sacrifice or meal offering. You have opened my ears. Literally, it means in Hebrew, you've dug my ears. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your Torah is within my heart. This ought to be our heart cry. We ought to say these very words, open my ears. This is powerful. Now, revival is coming, a reversal is coming. Go with me to Isaiah 29, Isaiah 29. And I know I'm going a little bit long, but I don't care. Isaiah 29, verse 18. I didn't mean that to sound ugly. And on that day shall the deaf hear the words of a book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in Jehovah, and the poorest among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. The day is coming, says Jehovah. On that day, the deaf will hear, the blind will see. Has to do with the book, right? Now, look at chapter 32. Chapter 32, verse 3. Now, let's do 2, verse 2. 33:2, O Jehovah, be gracious. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. Chapter 32, verse 3. And the eyes of them that see shall not be blind, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammer shall be ready to speak plainly. This is another passage that deals with this reversal. I'm not reading in context the whole thing. I want you to get a picture that which has been decreed, the blindness of those who have eyes to see, but can't, and so forth, that's coming to an end. Now look at chapter 35, verse 5. 35, verse 5. It says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Hallelujah. A time is coming when that which was decreed will be reversed. Now, when we follow after Jehovah fully, doing what is right in his eyes, and I'm not finished yet, I got some more to cover, not much. Our eyes see, our ears hear, and our heart knows and understands. When we listen, when we ask God to open our eyes and so forth, when we follow after, if we're involved in false religion, the opposite is the case. I want to show you something. You and I are supposed to model our behavior after Jehovah. He says, be ye therefore perfect, you know, the English, as I am perfect, right? So we ought to be modeling after his way. But and if you do, your eyes are open, your ears are open. See, the God that is described as Jehovah, he has his ears attentive to our prayer. His eyes are on all our ways. It says, I read 2 Chronicles 16:9. He's searching to and fro for that one person whose heart is out for him. He has a heart that understands our nature. But you know what's interesting is that a false God doesn't see, doesn't hear, and has no heart. I want you to get something. If you follow after false gods, you're going to be like that God. Let me demonstrate. Look at Psalm 115. I found this about 1:30 this morning. Psalm 115, verse 4. Their idols are silver and gold. Silver and gold. And the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they can't speak. Eyes have they, but they can't see. They have ears, but they can't hear. Noses have they, but they cannot smell. They have hands, but they can't feel. Feet have they, but they can't walk. Nor can they speak through their throat. They who make them are like them, so is everyone who trusts in them. Do you get that? If you trust in an idol, a false god, your false god can't see, hear, speak, feel, touch, eat, sleep, nothing. I mean, none of those things. If that's your god, so will you be. The problem with idolatry, one of the problems, is that you have attached yourself to that which is false. You therefore become false. You can't possibly hear and see and speak because neither can your God. Now look at Psalm 135. Psalm 135, verse 14. For Jehovah will judge the cause of his people, and he will relent concerning his servants. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. Eyes have they, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they can't hear, nor is there any breath in their mouths. May they who make them become like them, and everyone who trusts in them. There's a connection here, something I don't want you to miss. Two ways. You have the way of God, which brings blessing for those who listen and obey, and a curse for those who don't listen. Attached to the way of blessing is the God who rewards open eyes and open ears and an understanding heart. But remember this, if you don't listen to the Torah, even your prayer is an abomination. Now, we like to say, well, you know, God, you know, all these people, they're good people. You know, they're praying to an idol made of gold and, you know, but they're good people. I mean, they could play soccer on the team with our kids. I'm just, you know, they're okay. If you want to interpret it that way, I want to make sure that I'm listening to the Torah when I pray, because the scripture tells me that. Our prayer needs to be restore. We ought to be saying Hashav. Jeremiah 5:21, and when I read that, it says, you know, as you work your way through that passage, it says, no. Not only are they blind, they have eyes to see, ears to hear, but that no one's even saying, fix it. We need to pray that Jehovah restores our sight. We need to pray to let us, allow us to see things the way He sees things. And that He will show us and help us to understand what is right in His eyes. We need to pray, Gal Einai, open my eyes, and I will look for wonderful things in your Torah. We need to pray, open my ears, and I'll listen. Psalm 40, Isaiah 50. And we need to pray that God would give us a heart to know and understand, because listen, all of these things come from Jehovah. So here's the closing. See, I put before you this day a blessing if you listen, and a curse if you don't. And that's what it says. So I encourage you to listen. Let me close with this. Let those who have eyes to see, see. Let those who have ears to hear, hear. Shabbat Shalom.